Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud. So let's remember where we were at. It all started with a question that Levi asked Rebbe. And that question was, why does the Mishnah have 15? It should have 16. Because what he meant to include was, if a mother falls to the Yavam, so she also patters the Tzara. And it's possible to find a case where the mother can fall, if it's talking about Anusat Aviv, and Anusat Aviv is actually, according to the Rabbanan, Muteret to the other brothers. So what's the problem? And Rebbe's reaction was very sharp. This guy's a retard. How can you ask such a dumb question? So now we didn't understand why it's such a dumb question. So our first approach was that what Rebbe must have been saying is, it's a dumb question because since it's dependent in the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about what the din is, about the Isser Ach. And there, because of that, since it plukted Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, we are not interested in having a case in the Mishnah which is a machlokas, because it's Rabbi Yehuda who asers Be'anusas Aviv. And so this would only work out according to the Rabbanan. Fine. So this was approach number one. Now, yesterday we discussed a couple of questions that had been asked on Rebbe. What do you mean? We do have other cases where there's machlokas in, like the case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. We answered that, but we found the case where it's going according to everybody. And then we asked another question of Rebbe. What about the cases, and we need to remember this because we're still going to be dealing with it today. What about Reb Chiya's Braisa, in which Reb Chiya said that all of the cases in the Mishnah are cases that have to fit in later on to the Mishnah of four brothers, Arba Achim. You had four brothers, two of whom were married to two sisters. And the other two, when the two that are married to the sisters die, the other two find themselves faced with two sisters, one from one brother, one from the other brother. And it said over there that therefore it's called Achot Zekukato, and it's as if they are still sisters in a marriage, even though they're not really. And we view that Zika as being sufficient reason to say that you cannot be miyabing them, because you are in a position of being pogea in Achot Zekukato. Okay? Now, the problem was that then we had this addition of Rabbi Chiya, and that is that the case that is given in the Mishnah, if one of these women was a surah to one brother, and therefore did not fall to him for Yibum, she only fell to the other brother. And the other one was a surah to the other brother, and therefore she didn't fall to him, she only fell to the first brother. So then we don't have a problem of Achot Zekukato. Fine. So it's easy to come up with cases where we have that problem. Okay? The problem is that Rabbi Chiya came along and said, any single case in the Mishnah, all 15 cases apparently, have to fit into that structure. So that is therefore a set of all of those women. And because of that, Levi is crazy. No, not because of that Levi is crazy, but if the case is. We're going to get to why Levi would be crazy because of that case, but we haven't gotten there yet. We only brought in that case because it shows us that even though Rav Safra claims that it would work with Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, and we had that strange case where we have, remember, little baby Yisachar, little baby Zevulun, and each one is born at a different point. So to one, it's the nation of Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, and to the other one, it's not. And then the other baby is born. Again, to him, it's Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, but to the other one, it's not, because she was already married. So it works out that we can even have two Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, who are sisters, who are falling to two brothers, and it's Asur Lezeh Muteret Lezeh. But that's only true according to Rabbi Shimon. So why did Rebbe say that Levi is retarded? Because how could he have a case that's a plukta if Rebbe himself holds of the plukta? Because you see that Rebbe wrote the Mishnah about Arba Achin, And Rabbi Chiya is such a close Talmud of Rebbe, and if he said that all of the cases in the first Mishnah of the Masechet fit into the Mishnah of Arba Achin, we're assuming Rebbe goes along with it, but the only way that that can happen is if you hold that Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, if you hold that it makes a difference at what point the baby is born, whether he was born before the Yibam, or he was born after the Yibam. But the Rabbanan don't hold that. Only Rabbi Shimon holds it. So apparently Rabbi himself agrees that we could talk about a Mishnah where there's a machlokas. Answered the Gemara yesterday that in fact Rabbi does not hold of Rabbi Chiya's brisa. Rabbi Chiya added this thing that we can construct cases where all of the 15, but that would be a plukta. It's not innate in the Mishnah. Now, we then went ahead and came up with a brilliant answer. And this is the answer that we're about to review again. And that's on line 3 of Daf Yud. And this is that Rav Ada Karchina said to Rav Kahana Mishmei Derava, Lo'olam eat Leila Rebbe Ani Kloli. On the contrary, it's the reason that Levi is a retard, according to Rebbe, is because he does hold of these cases of Rebbe Chiya. Not because of the issue that we're not talking about machlokas. On the contrary, I am talking about machlokas in. But you know what you should have realized? Since, according to Rabbi Chiya's Bryce, and according to the way Rav was explaining everything, all of the cases in the Mishnah need to fit directly into the Mishnah later on of Arba Achin, in a way in which we can say how Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh, Asur Lazeh Muteret Lazeh. And they are also two sisters that otherwise would have been Achot Zekukato. Because of that, that's the reason that Levi is so crazy, according to Rebbe. Why? Because the only way that that case could work out is by choosing one or the other situations. If they are sisters, so then how could a mother fall to one and still be mutera to the other one? Because to the other one, since they're sisters, she's going to be the sister of his mother. And the first one is going to not be able to take the tzora of the sister of the other one because she's his mother's sister also. So forget about Asur Lazeh, Muteret Lazeh if they're sisters. Now, obviously, they could be Muteret Lazeh, Asur Lazeh if they're not sisters. I understand. But that whole point of Rabbi Chiya was that the cloud goes together, that the Mishnah that's talking about Achot Alon, the Mishnah that's talking about Achot Zekukato has to be talking about two sisters, and that Mishnah has got to also fit with Rabbi Chiya's idea that in the event that those two sisters were, one was Mutera to one and the other was Mutera to the other, that then there's no problem of Achot Zekukato. Says Rebbe, Levi, what the heck is with you? You suggest the case, you should have immediately seen that that doesn't fit in to the full scheme of the Mishnah later on in Arba Achim, the way that Rebbe Chiya explained it. So you're obviously not thinking. And I don't like it when my Talmidim are not thinking. So you're a retard. I can't be chayshid you that you didn't prepare, could I? So must be something wrong with your brains. Maybe next time, think a little bit before you walk in here with your questions. Now, we pointed out yesterday that this means that the level of thinking, this is mind-boggling, the level of thinking that Rebbe expects from Levi is that when he suggests the case, it should be immediately clear to him that it's got to also be consistent with every other Mishnah in the Masechet, together with Rabbi Chiya's Pirish of the Mishnah in the Braita, and therefore to think that even though they may be two Achayot, but then it's going to be Achot Imo, and then we could only do it the other. He's supposed to see that instantly, where we were struggling yesterday to even understand what we're talking about. So that means that the level of learning that Rebbe expected of Levi is the essence of the way that we find that the learning of Torah takes place in the Gemara and takes place even among the Rishonim. It does not take place among the Achronim, and that's exactly where you can tell the difference. Where they speak about things, they speak about what they see, not what they hammer out mechanically. So that's called in the Gemara Tzurata Deshmaitzitza. I have a sense of how the whole thing looks. The Achronim began banging away to mechanically tear things apart so they could come up with this same understanding, but obviously it is toilsome and it does not have the same perspective. And therefore, every question and every answer has to be broken down, spoken out in great detail, and people have to buy art scrolls to understand it, and so on and so forth. But the reality is that the way to learn, and this was we've spoken about in terms of Purim, which of course is part of today's discussion, the way to learn is to be able to learn according to the way Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to speak to that rock. And instead, banging on the rock makes us bang our heads against a wall in order to understand. And there, that's the reason that the Balei Kabbalah say that the two bangings on the rock by Moshe created, one of them created Talmud Bavli, and one of them created Talmud Yerushalmi, and left us in the position of being still stuck in Mitzrayim and needing to do Avodah Kasha, Bachomer, Balavenim. All of this means the Avodah Kasha is the Kushya, and the Chomer is Kal V'Chomer, and so on and so forth. Very, very cute. But it's good to actually see an example of this. Masha Inkin, if you have to work everything out, like Moshe was walking along now and probably forgot to bring the mezuzahs when he was in the old city. So if you have to work every detail out, so then you're in trouble. Okay, beautiful. Now, this means, by the way, it's also an insight into the relationship between the two. Because you can have a tzurata deshmaitza, as we were talking about yesterday, and that is the response of the rock, so to speak. So your own heart can respond to being told the sugya. That doesn't mean that there isn't a mechanical level that then can be used to crack things open and to work on them further where you're not yet ready to have that level of perspective. So actually, that explains why Moshe Rabbeinu was told to keep his mata in his hand as if he's going to hit the rock. Right? Don't hit the rock. Speak to the rock. Now, this is a very important yesod, gentlemen. Really important. La halacha. It's not a hashkafa. The halacha is that you have to be mishalesh zman limudai, right? So you have shlish b'terah shebal peh, and shlish b'... So you have shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'gemara, and shlish b'terah shebiksav, right? So what is the point of having the shlish in the gemara? The shlish in the Gemara, you'll never finish, because Gemara doesn't mean learning Shas. That's obviously, learning Shas is like Mishnah. The Gemara means the Gemara of, as the Rambam says, the continued expansion of the sugya in your brain, right? Now, obviously, at the beginning, that's learning Shas. But I mean, there's no end to that. So, I mean, what's the idea of splitting the time up? It's an infinity. As long as you live, you're able to continue expanding. The point is, gentlemen, and why do we paskin that even at the beginning? Why don't we first just do the Mikra and the Mishnah, and then you could do the Shas, but why waste time on Shas before you have the facts straight? The reason is because the more capable you are of thinking, even though you've only learned, let's say, Brochus in Ion, having learned Brochus in Ion, your learning of Yevamais Bibikias is going to be totally different because your level of awareness and the automatic functioning of your brain is on a completely different level. Therefore, it is essential to be carrying that staff with you, whatever it is that you're learning on whatever level you're learning, even if you're learning purely on a level of perspective. That perspective was gained because you learned to carry that staff. And maybe you only had to do that when you were a kid or whatever. But it's always there in the potential of being able to break up that sugya, you see? So both elements were necessary, and in perfectly practical fashion. When we did, many people, when they try to do the perspective of the Gemara with the Daf Yomi, and that's the whole beauty of Daf Yomi, is its perspective, they think that what they're doing is a quick mechanical read, which they would have spent a week on if they were doing it slow, but they only have an hour to spend on, and they have to do it fast. And that is a terrible mistake, because then they don't get anything out of the Daf Yomi, and they read the Daf Yomi as if it's an art scroll. The real thing that you get out of the Daf Yomi is dafka the fact that it's fast. It's dafka the fact that it provides you this perspective that you're open enough to be able to see instead of thinking, well, I got time. Let me work on this. Let me try to figure out exactly what that means. Isn't this a problem? And then you end up spending 2 weeks on it and you understand it less than had you spent the Daf Yomi with five chazoras, far less, no comparison. You try doing the Daf Yomi, then chazor over the Daf five times, giving only 15 minutes to chazor over. You will know it better than people that spent 2 weeks on it. You'll see yourself. It's amazing. So this is because of these two different levels of learning. So therefore, the second thing that we learned yesterday was, on the contrary, it's Rabbi Chiya's Braisa that is the reason that Levi is called a retard by Rebbe. Okay, now let us continue on today. So we have either you have Yevimta Chotashi Yevimta, you can find, but then you can't find Asur Lezeh Mutaret Lezeh. And if we're talking about Shtei Nechriot Anaz, so then you can find Asur Lezeh Mutaret Lezeh, but you cannot find the case of Achotashi Yevimta. That's explanation number two of why Levi was called a retard. Explanation number three, says Rav Ashi. The truth is, neither of your explanations is correct. I hold that Rebbe does not agree with Rabbi Chiya that all of the Mishnah has to fit in. Forget about that. And I hold that Rebbe never would have said, we're not talking about a machlokas. He is talking about a machlokas. So then why did he say to Levi, I don't think you got a brain in your head. Why did he say that? Because my taima, this is what he's saying to him. Levi, do you remember that later on we're going to have the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel and with the Shesha Rayot Chamurot Me'elu? So why didn't you think about that? Obviously, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that Imo cannot fall to you. Why? Because he holds that Anusas Aviv is Asura on all of the brothers. My proof is that the end of the Mishnah, which we wait until Daf Yud Gimel, but we learn together, says, Shesh Arayot Chaburot Me'ela. We have six Arayot who can only be married by definition to other people and not to your brother. So Mipnei She'en Nisuot La'Cherim, they cannot pater their Tzora because Tzora is only where she falls to Yibam. What are those six Arayot? Imo. Imo. Oh. So Imo can only be married to somebody else. So what are you telling me it should say Imo? Imo, Eshet Aviv, Achot Aviv. So when it says Imo, what do you think Imo is referring to over there? Your mother, who is married to your father. Then it's the same case. We don't have six cases. That's Eshet Aviv. Why do we bother mentioning that she's your mother? I don't care whose mother she is. Elalav Anusat Aviv. And even though it's talking about Anusat Aviv, the Mishnah says, and that woman who is Anusat Aviv never could have married any brothers because she's only Nesua La'Acherim. Only La'Acherim, La'Achim Lo. Now, who says that's for her? Well, it certainly is not the Rabbanan. Man Shamatle the Islay Haisfar Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Anusat Aviv is Aser. So obviously I'm not going to put in the first Mishnah the thing that contradicts the same words of the first Mishnah at the end. The first Mishnah at the end is saying Imai is impossible, even though she's only Anusat Aviv. So why don't put in Imo in the beginning of the Mishnah? Boy, I don't know where your brains are. Now, Lebaisa, where are Levi's brains? I mean, that's a pretty good point. The point is that according to Levi, it's always the derech of a Tana to mention the separate Isurim that we're involved in. So yes, you're right that it could say Imo, meaning the Nisuat Aviv. And you're right that that would be Eshet Aviv. But nonetheless, we would say it in order to make it clear that there's two different Isurim. So therefore, it's important to say that we've got an Imo that could be Anusat Aviv without that Isur. I need to know all of the Isurim. So because of that, it should have been listed and we should have had 16. Now, continues the Gemara with a brilliant question. It works out that a mother can fall to her son for Yibum, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's Asur. What's the big problem? I don't understand. Lemaisa, if the brother would have gone ahead and would have married the woman that his father raped, would the Kiddushin be chal or not? Is it an Isser Karis? Does it say anywhere that you're chayav Karis on that? It's Meramis to it, but Eshet of Knaf Aviv. Knaf Aviv, does it say V'nichrasa? It says Lo Yikach Knaf Aviv, right? Lo Yigale, rather, Knaf Aviv. There's no Isser in terms of saying there's not going to be any Kiddushin. There's no chayav of Karis. So fine. So bad boy brother went ahead and he was over on Reb Yudah's Isser, but the Kiddushin was chal. And then he died, and then the woman, who was her mother, falls to him from the brother, okay? So what's the big problem? So even if you want to say that it's going on Libet Reb Yudah, it should have said Imo, De'i Avar V'Nasiv, if the brother went ahead and married her anyway. That's not a kasha, says the Gemara. The Mishnah doesn't talk about ifs. That's a very big if. Somebody goes ahead and he's bedafka over an alav. De'i lo katani. We're not talking about cases where brothers did things. Omele Ravashi Levkana, wait a minute. We don't need to have the big if, okay? We can have it without the big if. You want me to give you a case without the if? Okay, here's the case. The father, we decided anyway, the father's a rapist, so that's not a big if. That's the case, okay? Now the question is, who did he rape? I got a great idea. He raped his daughter-in-law. Okay. Now, his daughter-in-law, even though she was raped, she is still allowed to remain married to his son because it was a rape. She didn't engage in this relationship willingly, and he isn't a Kohen. So the son, let's call his son Reuven, the son dies, leaving this woman who is the victim of a rape and the mother from that rape of his brother Shimon. So now Shimon is faced with his mother, right? So what's the big deal? There's no ifs over here. It's the standard case. So why do we have to say because of the if? And that's why the Inami, without the Imashkachadla, Yaakov goes ahead, rapes his daughter-in-law, has a child, and then the first brother that we'll call Reuven dies without any of his own children. His wife has a child from his father, but he doesn't have any children. And now that woman, who is the mother of the brother of Reuven, falls to Shimon Nofla Kamebra, and she paters her tzara. Migo de Iyasira, she paters her tzara because she is an Isser Imo, which is an Isser Chorus, right? So she paters tzara ta'anami posa. There. So what's the problem? Omar Lay, that case also we wouldn't state. Why? Because when we talk about brothers, this is a different issue. This is not because of De'i. But when we talk about brothers, we are not talking about brothers from Appalachia. We're talking about regular brothers. I understand that if you live in Appalachia, your brother is also your grandfather and your sister's the grandmother and whatever. But okay, those aren't the kind of brothers that we're talking about over here. We're talking about normal brothers, not that your father raped his boy, the wife of your brother, and now he became a brother who is also a nephew. It's like, forget it, man. So therefore, the Mishnah doesn't list those cases. That's all. We're talking about achvata that there. We're talking about normal achvata. We're not talking about achvata di yisuro. That's not the cases. The lokamari in those cases. All right, so now Levi is the victim of a vicious attack. Poor Levi has been called a retard by Rebbe, who was the one who organized the Mishnah. Do you think it deterred him for one moment? Do you think that just because he was sitting there bearing the brunt of these horrible attacks by Rebbe, that because of that he changed his mind? No. He went right ahead and wrote a brisa, which included the case of Imo, which made the Mishnah 16 instead of 15. Now, unfortunately, Moshe Forman is listening to this, and because of this, he's taken Levi as his model. So no matter how much I bang on him, it makes absolutely no difference. I don't care about you. You can call me a retard all you want. I'm going in my path. Okay? So this is exactly what Levi did. And this is what Torah is all about. Never pull back just because your Rebbe is sitting there attacking you viciously. All right. Barnea long ago, I mean, he was totally out of it. But okay.
What's Barnea's name? What is my full name?
Barnea Levi Selavan.
A drink. A Levi.
Oh, I see. Okay. Good. I know that you're good for nosebleeds, so you must be Barnea Levi HaKoyen. All righty. So we're back. And there, the Gemara wants to tell us, even though Levi was attacked, afal pike, botka Levi b'masnis, and Levi went ahead, some have the girsa over here, not botka, but garsa, or potka, meaning added. Botka's a little bit strange, but it means that he made it clearer, cleaner. Botka means, so he changed the lashon to include this case, and he went ahead and in the bright, remember we have the Tani Deve Levi, the Tani Levi, imo, pa'amim poteret sarata, pa'amim not poteret sarata. There is a case of an imo that does have a p'tur of its sara. Ketzad, hayta imo nesu'at aviv, unis'et la'achiv mi'aviv. So suppose his mother was actually married to the father, normally, right? And then she gets married, so to speak, to his brother. That's not a marriage. And therefore, she will not fall to Yibam. And because of that, if that brother dies, umate, that is a mother that will not pater her tzara because she wasn't really married. They were just living in sin. She can't marry. A married woman of a father cannot have kiddushin with your brother. Okay, but in the event that she was a rape victim of your father, taita imo anusat aviv, and then she got married to achiv mi aviv, and he dies, then there, that ima is definitely married to him. But she's also definitely your mommy and an issacharet. And therefore she will be poteret sarata. And therefore, continued Levi, afal pi sheshonu chachomim b'mishnatenu. So even though our Mishnah says chamesh esrei, we should really add shesh esrei. That's what it means. Okay? So you see that Levi would actually continue believing what he does. Okay. So now we have that case. Omer le-Rish Lakish le-Rabbi Yochanan. What does this mean? It means that Levi is basically saying that we have cases of de'i, right? Because he's saying that since you can have the brother falling, the mother falling to you from a brother, how did the mother fall to you from a brother? He went ahead and he married Anusas Aviv. But Anusas Aviv is Usser. And if Anusas Aviv is Usser, he must have done an Avera. Now, it's not Chores, I understand. Even the way Reb Yehuda is learning, it's Usser because of this Isser of Knaf Aviv. So that means that Levi's saying, okay, that means we will list cases of if he went ahead to brother and he did it Isser, right? That's what we're talking about. If he went ahead and did it Isser. Well, now hold on a sec over here. If Levi is ready to list cases of if, I got other cases of if. Because then instead of 16, let's add another case. Omar le Resh Lakish l'Rab Yochanan. If Levi insists on 16 in the Mishnah, so then he's adding a case of de'i. So let him talk about another de'i. I'll tell you what the case is. The case would be that if someone was choletz liyavimta, so a guy gave chalitza. Now then the same guy who gave chalitza goes back and he gives her kedushin. Now he's not allowed to do that, right? And now he dies without children, so that this woman now is going to be the previous brother's, the one Reuven, remember, we call always that first brother who died. And now she falls to all of the others. So then the halacha would be that she, the Yavama herself, now this is based on Reish Lakish's Shita that we're going to examine in a moment. What is the din of the Yavama herself that got chalitza? Does she go back to being Eshet Achiv vis-a-vis the other brothers who did not do chalitza or yibum? Or do we say once she fell to yibum, she's no longer usher as Eshet Achiv to any of the brothers' wives? Now, this is a big machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish's shita in all of this is that all of the other brothers have an iser karet to marry her, because the moment that they never took her, and another brother either does yibum or chalitza, she reverts to being the first brother's wife vis-a-vis all of the brothers, other than the one that actually gave the chalitza to yibum. So here we've got a fantastic case. The brother who gave chalitza, D'i, he was over on the Isser. What's that Isser? It says, Asher lo bana. So the idea over there was, he does, the Torah wants to say, that this is the way that we show what is done in Chalitza. We say, Asher lo yivne et beit achiv, right? So why does it say, Asher lo yivne? Why doesn't it say, Asher lo bana? Because it's coming to tell us that kivan shelo bana, once the guy made the mistake of not being bone, so then lo yivne. He's never allowed to take her back again. Okay, that's an iser. It's not an iser chorus. It's an iser. We'll find out it's an iser assay. Some say it's only derabbanan. In any event, he's not allowed to marry her. But if he went ahead and remarried her instead of giving her chalitza, and he said, I changed my mind, I really want to marry you, that marriage would be chal. If he dies, then the other brothers are not allowed to take that woman because she is to them an achot, an eshet ha'ach from the original marriage. So that adds another case, because we've had the addition of the case of Imo. We had the case of eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. We had the case of eshet the achiv me'imo. And we should have this case as well. Here's the case of eshet ach, who is the equivalent of an eshet ach shelo haya ba'olamo to the other brothers, because she went back to being an eshet ach. Everybody hear the case? And since according what you're saying is, Levi, that we are willing to list cases of de'is, so don't tell me we didn't list the case, because he would have been a bad boy if he went back and married her. He knows he's naughty, naughty. You're not allowed to do that. But he went and did it anyway. So this is the de'i. So why doesn't Levi list a brilliant 17th case in the Mishnah in which the chalutzato that he remarried falls before the brothers, and therefore they are usher, and she will pater the tzora also? So therefore I would say that she's migud I asura, since she is usher to all of the brothers, the tzorot are also usher. And Rabbi Yochanan answered Levi, Moshe. Rabbi Yochanan answered Levi by saying, you can't list it in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, potrot tzorotehem vitzorot tzorotehem. There's no way that there could ever be tzorot tzorotehem, because once the tzora fell from that brother that had remarried his chalutza, and she was asura with an iser karis, because she was an eshet ach, that was shelo b'makom mitzvah, so now she's also an iser karis. So therefore, none of the other brothers could possibly have married her in a way that would make her fall to yibum. So where's the tzoras tzora? There's an impossibility to have a case of a tzoras tzora. Tzoras tzora only appears where the tzora is married to one of the brothers along with another wife. But this tzora can't be married to one of the other brothers. That's why it doesn't say it. Okay, so ask the Gemara. That's not a good reason for why it doesn't say it. There's a much better reason to tell him. I mean, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, the lemale, Rabbi Yochanan should say, listen, Reish Lakish, darling, according to you, maybe this is a case where she's asura to all the brothers. But according to me, she's not asura on all of the brothers. And in fact, there would be a marriage there, because I hold that all of the other brothers are only usher with the iser lav of lo yivnet beit achiv. I disagree with you. I don't believe that a woman reverts to being asura from the first marriage after she was already muteris. And we're going to see this machlokas in a minute. We're jumping ahead, as the Gemara often does, and then it will explain the machlokas it's referring to. So Rabbi Yochanan should certainly have told Rabbi Reish Lakish, what are you talking about, man? It's only a iser lav. That's what he should have said. Lavim are definitely b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninu. So what are you telling me? She's going to pater the tzara? No, obviously he could have said that. But he wants to answer Reish Lakish according to Reish Lakish's own shita. So Lidvarov Kamar, he's saying, listen, Reish Lakish, even according to you, it's not a question. Lididi, according to me, it's laughable. I mean, I'm saying it's chayve lavim him, and chayve lavim b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninu, but even according to you, who believe that she reverted to become a chi of kores, then it still can't list it in the Mishnah, because it would not have been included in the case of tzoras tzora. Fine. Now, here is the machlokas, itmar. Where do we have this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in this discussion? Somebody gives chalitza, and then he goes out and he marries that same woman. So Reish Lakish says he is not going to be chayev any chorus on that, because once he gave her chalitza, she becomes mutera to him, other than the fact that it says shuv lo yivneh. But that shuv lo yivneh takes off the iser chorus that existed before. Moshe, you're falling asleep. Takes off the iser chorus that was there before. That's for sure. But what about the brothers? Says Reish Lakish, the brothers, achim chayovim ala chalutza karet. Because only because of the guy who did the yibum, or the chalitza, he's the one that shuv lo yivneh. And what about the tzora? Oh, on the tzora, even the guy who gave the chalitza to the first wife also is going to be chayav karet if he takes the tzora. So, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, there's nobody who's ever going to be chayav kares on any of the women, not any of the brothers, and not any of the women in this family. What's Reish Lakish's logic? That since it says in the Pasuk, asher lo yivneh beit achiv, and that simply means, why are we talking about the future? Lo yivneh. That comes to tell me, if you didn't build, you don't have a future to build either. Once you rejected her, so then you're not allowed to build it again. That's an iser against taking the chalitza. It appeared in the pasuk of chalitza, right? The woman who's doing the chalitza says, he refuses to take me. Fine. So that means that the Torah is saying, on this woman that is doing the chalitza, there will be only an iser of asher lo yivneh. There will not be an iser karet. So the very fact that we say those words, I have to agree, says Reish Lakish, that there's no chorus involved. Even though originally there was chorus, the chalitza took off the chorus. But to whom? The chalitza did the chorus to this brother, the one who is now lo yivneh. So, but the other brothers, she never said anything like that too, right? So the other brothers are the same way they always were. And therefore, when it comes to him, there we have this new halach of lo yivneh, which is not an iser kares. But that's only her, because she's the one who says that. So Allah didahu dekoy belo yivneh, he's only also on lo yivneh, which is not an iser kares, Baruch Avram, which is not an Issacharis, on this woman. But as far as the other women in the family, Hatsara Kidakaima Kaima, when it comes to the other ones, they're all going to be, even for him, they're all going to be Usr. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, tell me something. This is logical to you, my dear Reish Lakish. You're telling me that it's reasonable to say that the moment that Reuven, who was the first brother, died, that the Torah gave a mitzvah to marry any of these women that you want, and told all of the brothers, all of you can marry any of these women that you want, and it'll be a mitzvah, and now all of a sudden it becomes an issur kares. This is logical to you. How did it get back to being an Osir Koros? It's absurd. So Miika Midi to Miikori Boy High College, Boy High College, Boy High College, Boy High College. You're telling me that first you could have done whatever you wanted, any of the brothers, and any of the brothers could have done that to any of these women. And now all of a sudden the relationship between these brothers and these women who were all mutter to each other suddenly turns into an Issachar. So obviously the point over here is that when the Torah says you're all supposed to do Yibam, and all of you women are Yevamos, when we choose one and we say Bayit Echad Hu Boneh, Ve'eno Boneh Shnei Batim, it means one brother acts on behalf of the family, and one of the wives acts on behalf of the family, of all of the wives that were married to this guy. And therefore, the brother that acts is doing the shlichut of the whole family, and the wife that acts is doing the shlichut of all of the wives. So what's the problem? They all basically are women of Yibam. They're all Asher Lo Yivneh. They're all mutter. There's no chorus. There's no original marriage. There's only now this new marriage to the second brother. And therefore, there are ihu shlichut da achim kavid, the one who did the chalitza acted on behalf of all of the brothers. And ihi, and she who went ahead and got the chalitza, she was acting on behalf of all of the wives. Shlichut da tzara kavda. So therefore, there's no way that the cars went back on. They're all included only in this new iser of kivan shelo bana, shuv lo yivne. That's all. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yochanan. Eisei Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish, let me prove to you that that's exactly the din. Because the Braisa says, somebody does chalitza to his Yavama, and then he goes ahead and he marries her. He was only Mekadesh. Okay. And then he dies. So she needs chalitza. Okay. This makes sense according to you? According to me, it makes perfectly good sense. Because I... I tell you that there's only an Isser Lav, okay? And if there's an Isser Lav, an Isser Lav doesn't take off the Chiyav of Yibam, the Chalitza. But remember, the Rabbanit say, you only do Chalitza. We don't say Esedo Chalos Esa. Fine. So then I understand. Since it's only an Isser Lav, one of these brothers is now going to have to do Chalitza because of this new marriage, right? But according to you, she's an Isser Chorus. He says that any of the brothers that would take this woman are going to be chayiv kares. So then why does she need chalitza? Whoever heard of a woman that's a chayiv of kares getting chalitza? She's an erva. So what kind of chalitza would there be? So you see that I'm right. And that the brothers, in fact, are only usher because of shuv lo yivneh, which is an iser lav. It's not even that, as we'll see. So, Rish Lakish says, you think that that's going to show that I'm wrong? I love it when people select one part of a brisa instead of saying the whole thing. I'll prove from the same brisa that you're wrong. So anyway, you're going to be faced with a contradiction here. You're going to have to explain the brisa. Don't come swinging this brisa at my head, because I'll swing it right back at you. Because keep reading, man. Read the end of the brisa. It says over there, if one of the brothers, not the same guy who gave the chalitza, one of the other brothers, he went ahead and he gave her kedushin, then she doesn't need anything from him. She doesn't need a get. She doesn't need chalitza. She can walk out of the house and marry another guy. How do you explain that, my dear Rabbi Yochanan? If ain't la love klum, it's a completely useless marriage. If she's only a chive lavim, which is what you're claiming, Rabbi Yochanan, so how can she not require a get? I don't understand. It was a kosher man. I mean, it was usher, but the lekuchen is certainly chal on an iser lav. So am I ein la lav klum? So you see that I'm right. Since she's an iser karis, and he went ahead and gave kedusha to an iser karis, and obviously that is a meaningless act. So therefore, if he dies, there wouldn't be any chiv, and if she walks out of the house, she doesn't need a get. So that's what I said. You see that I'm right? So basically, you cannot use this brisa against either Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish because it says the opposite of both of them. So one part is like Rabbi Yochanan, one part of Reish Lakish. So how are we going to explain this? Omer of Sheshes. I'll explain how this could work out, because if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, it still makes sense, because the Sefer could have been going like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'Chayvei Lavin. And since Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'Chayvei Lavin, so therefore there would be no Kedushin at all, and she can walk out. Maybe that's what it means. Oh, come on, Rav Sheshes, that's a ridiculous answer. Because then why does it not simply say, instead of going ahead and saying this whole case, but if one of the brothers did the marriage, forget about one of the brothers. Even if the guy himself does the marriage, if you're going to leave it to Rabbi Akiva, then his own marriage is batal, even though everybody agrees that it's only the Isser of Shuv Lo Yivneh, but you hold of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that's enough to cancel the marriage. So all it needed to say was, but, same case, don't say, im amadech ad miachim, same case, but, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, ein lo alav klum. That would be the way to teach it, if that is true. So I'm sorry, but you have not explained the Braita according to Rabbi Yochanan. So this Braita remains a contradictory Braita, and neither Rabbi Yochanan nor Reish Lakish can use it to prove their point. Kasha, that indeed is a problem. How are we going to deal with this problem? For that, we must wait for the next exciting episode.